seated. Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." In my travels around the country, I am often reminded of my origins. After a little conversation here and there, someone often asks me, "So where are you from?" Typically, the accent is what gives me away. I've gotten that question so many times, I now have an internal mechanism that quickly triggers a nicely packaged response. "I was born in Chile, raised in Panama, and now have lived in the United States longer than I ever lived in Chile or Panama." But that response puzzles some people even more, leading to other questions. The more common one being, "So how do you become a Lutheran?" When we are used to seeing things a certain way, it's a little challenging to get our minds wrapped around unexpected surprises. Where traditional expectations are not encountered, people struggle a little or a lot to deal with, make sense of the new reality. Some, like Philip, receive the news with wonder and can't wait to tell others. "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Others, like Nathanael, receive them with doubt or hesitation. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come on." Since according to more traditional messianic expectations, no great prophet was supposed to come out of Nazareth in Galilee, no one expected God to speak his word and give eternal life to his people through a Galilean savior. You see, Galileans are not your ideal Jews. They have accents. Do you remember how people in Jerusalem discovered that Peter was one of Jesus' disciples as his Lord was being spat on, struck, slapped? Bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. You are a Galilean." It was the darn accent that gave him away as a follower of Jesus, the Galilean. Due in part to his geographical location, Galileans had a higher likelihood to come in contact with Gentiles than Jerusalem Jews did, which cast some suspicion on the purity of their Jewish religious identity and even their faith in God. So no self-respecting Jew from Jerusalem looked to Galilee for good theology and practice, and much less for God's salvation to be revealed. Galilee is not Jerusalem. If you want a pure, holy Jew, you go to Jerusalem, the holy city, the privileged center of Jewish social, political, and religious life. This is the place of the religious leaders who know everything, who've got their act together, of the center of learning and wisdom and power. Goodness, Jerusalem is where the holy temple is. It is God's own dwelling place. If there's any place where God's salvation should be revealed, it has got to be holy Jerusalem. Or is it? Galilee is not supposed to be that place, but our ways are not God's ways. God has a habit of surprising us with the unexpected, of turning our world upside down. And that's the saving mystery of the cross, isn't it? God reveals his power through what we see as weak, and his wisdom through what we see as foolish. Against all human expectations, God surprises us and gives us a Galilean Jew from Nazareth to be our Savior. This Jesus is God's new temple, and where he is, we have holy ground, and salvation and lives are transformed. So what does this all mean for Jesus' disciples and for us today? There is something ironic in Nathanael's words. He does not believe God can work out of Galilee, and yet he himself is a Galilean. It's almost like he's excluding himself from God's power, wisdom. Can God work through someone like me? Can any good church come out of here? Not even Nathanael is optimistic. Nathanael's a Galilean from Cana, just like Peter and Andrew are Galileans from Bethsaida. Not only is Jesus Galilean, but his disciples are too. Jesus and his disciples have accents. They are strange Jews. And so, like Jesus, his disciples too are rejected by the wise and the powerful, the world and the flesh that does not look for God's prophets and wise teachers in marginal places like Galilee. We too are like Nathanael. At times we are doubtful about the power of Jesus to save and transform lives among strange peoples and in places where we least expected. Can anything good come out of fill in the blank? When we do so, we see with the eyes of the flesh only. We do not see Jesus at work in the most unlikely places. We're a bit suspicious, or as we call it today, cautiously optimistic. We're no longer open to being surprised by God's power among unlikely folks and places. But when we trust in God as people called by Jesus and see life, therefore, with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the eyes of faith, we are more like Philip, at least in the text for today. We see Jesus in Galilee. We're pleasantly surprised and can see God's salvation at work in places where at first it seemed impossible to find his power and love. Who are some of the Galileans of our time? Well, we have some Galilean brothers and sisters in our midst being formed for ministry together with you. You have heard their accents already. You will hear them sing in a different language, and you will join together with them. Yes, God is working today, even among strange peoples with strange accents and customs from strange places. People who do not always fit neatly into our own cultural norms or congregational life, whom God has nevertheless called to serve in the church, to bring the gospel of life to a hurting world. They are our brothers and sisters. Jesus is at work in modern Galilee, and he's blessing our church through modern Galileans from strange lands, bringing God's word and life against all odds in places where some Lutheran congregations are even wondering if they should close their doors. Sometimes we forget that our Lord came from Galilee and that the church is at its very core a bunch of Galilean people. That includes you. Modern Galileans with accents remind Lutherans in the U.S. of their own origins. For the Lutheran church, too, was once a church of Galileans with accents and strange customs and traditions. Some might say that's still true. And yet God worked his salvation through these Germans, and through their descendants has brought the gospel of life to many of us today. But more than that, the modern Galileans with accents remind us of our own Christian identity. For what is the church? The church has always been a little group of strange Galilean disciples that do not speak or act like the world does. What is the church but a little Galilean flock that is ridiculed and persecuted by the world because it sings to a different tune and walks to a different drumbeat? You have different accents. To the world, you sound weird and strange. And yet God has revealed his salvation, his power and wisdom for the sake of the world through people who in the eyes of the world are nothing, insignificant, weak, and foolish. through you. Through modern Galileans and through Philip, God is inviting us to see once again what it means to be a Galilean church, to be the community he has called us to be, the community where God still does surprising and mighty things in unlikely places and through unlikely people like you. Hey, Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth, out of Galilee? Well, yes, Nathaniel, yes. Open your eyes. It is happening right now, right here, in this old Lutheran seminary, in this old Lutheran church. So come and see. It's a Galilean epiphany. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amen.
As Dr. Sanchez noted, we will sing